All right, Kiss Army, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Thank you for giving us your time today and letting us into your head. I hope we don't do any damage. We're just a bunch of Kiss fans, and we talk Kiss. So come along for the ride. You've got nothing to lose. All right, good morning. Welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Welcome to those people joining us live. Mark Arnold, Justin Hell, Austin Newland, Sylvie Rocks, anyone else who's listening in but not participating in the comment, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're back for another week of Kiss Chat. We got the full crew here today. Lonnie, welcome back. We've missed
you. Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yes.
Yeah, people got to work. People got life. So when we're not able to be a part of the show, we got shit going on. So what's the news this week? Well, first of all, let's go straight to Ken, because Ken is styling a brand new purchase. Ken, tell us what you're tell us who your designer is today.
This is the hoodie that I tried to stop them from shipping with it. I might as well keep it. So yeah, it's that hoodie that comes with that. I think it's a picture desk thing. Notice jeans at the bottom. He's usually never at the bottom.
Show the lightning bolt.
Interesting. Oh, lightning bolt. Yeah, I got my lightning bolts. Go, you know,
nice.
On my sleeves. And...
Are you insulted that jeans at the bottom?
No, it's okay.
Okay,
I'm surprised they actually did something different.
Nice. Well, that looks good. It looks vibrant. I hope those images are still there after the first washing, you know.
Inside out, cold water.
What's some of the site news this week? Kiss Comes Alive finally went public on Wednesday. Thank you to everyone who's taking the opportunity to give that one a listen. To members got a demo bite. That's a shorter song story for, which one was it this time, Mark? It was Two Sides of the Coin.
Yes.
Because I did Torpedo Girl previously. So those two song stories are available to members only. Ooh, benefits of membership. This week, there will be a new demo story, early access in this one for members, and it'll go public in a couple of weeks. I don't know. I don't have a calendar in front of me. So that's the site stuff out of the way. We've got a topic for today, but before we do the
Sorry, it's me.
Open your freaking cookies and get happy.
There is a mute button.
I know.
Okay. All right. You're officially the Mark of our show, the Mark Cicchini, who munches on food sometimes during Three Sides episodes. Yeah, there's been a lot of gene chatter this week. And I guess first and foremost, we kind of really have to talk about his set list. He's hit the road again. I think a lot of promises were made about set list, or maybe no promises were made. And the fans just thought that promises would be made. Ken, let's start with you. Obviously, the first show did get a weather interruption and had to end early, but I think the following night in, I can't remember which one is which, Georgia or Kentucky, this was the set list from the second show, and there's a really good front row full video from that show up on YouTube, and it's actually very entertaining. There's a couple of cringe moments, but let's start off just with a little bit of a talk about Gene's set list. Ken?
Yeah, the set list. Well, the set list starts off actually pretty good. And they go through it, and I still don't understand the need of having House of Pain from Van Halen or Ace of Spades. You know, nothing wrong with those songs. They're fine, but come on. They're not Kiss related. They're not Gene Simmons related. Well, Gene Simmons related. Yeah, he produced a demo of House of Pain, sure. But that's not what the fans are coming to see. And then the jam kind of thing is okay. The best part of the jam is when they do which song from Kiss? I forget now. It's on. Anyway. They do the instrumental, and that part's fine. But Parasite, yeah, good. Cold Gin. This Bad Reputation, I thought, oh, I saw the Bad Reputation. I thought, oh, this is like Gene's old early, you know, version of his, one of his songs, and it's not. So that was not good.
What is it though?
Huh?
Thin Lizzy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, why? I don't get it. And then the rest are, yeah. I think Spit was cool. I'm sure a lot of people like that, but I thought Spit. That's like, wow, he's actually doing Spit. That's cool. I like that. But then it goes back into this whole lot of love. You know, the Led Zeppelin, of course, mm-hmm. which he's done before, and then the Beatles. Sure, I love the Beatles. I like that song, but you're wasting a bunch of time putting these things in when people are looking for Kiss songs or Gene Simmons solo songs or whatever. So that it's disappointing. It is disappointing. And I'm not so sad that I missed the, that they canceled the show up here because, I kind of, you know, it would have been nice to see him, but I just don't see the need for those other songs. And then the other stuff that happens on stage during these concerts.
I find it very ironic that already I've spoken about him doing Ace of Spades and Lemmy, you know, being a hard drinking, hard living, you know, individual who basically slid into the grave after, you know, at the end of a cancer battle with a cigarette in one hand and a JD and Coke in the other and said, fine, take me, you bastard. Thin Lizzy, you know, for mine, was the same. He was a heroin user and died as a result of, you know, drug use and septicemia. So he's sure, for someone who's pontificated about the sins of those lifestyle choices, pretty arrogant to be putting those into his set when he could be putting plenty of Kiss songs or Gene songs into the set and just shutting up more when he's on stage. He's a terrible frontman. I love him to pieces. I love Gene Simmons. I love Deuce. At the beginning of each one of those, I'm sitting there with a grin. He has no charisma whatsoever as a frontman.
Yes, he plays charisma.
Why would he have charisma as a frontman when Paul Stanley has done that job for 50 years? But the set is just so jam-packed with diversions and wastes of time, like a lot of my monologues. You know, bringing people up on stage and then mocking them. He was mocking a girl that he brought up on stage. You know, like, are you drunk?
That's not good.
Yeah, this is.
And
she after he gets done playing, you know, after he gets done playing a Motorhead song.
What if she has intellectual, you know, issues? You know, and someone if she's drunk, you know, because again, different people. Bob, the $12,000 man for a day, got a lot of.
That was ridiculous. Okay.
I mean, it's kind of humor on one part, and you know Gene's humor is a very specialized thing, but it straddles the line that if you're unsure about it, you know, I'll leave all that shit alone. You got the Beatles cover. I actually thought that worked pretty well. There's just too many freaking covers for a he's out there representing Kiss. He could be doing Spit. He could be doing Not for the Innocent.
Something else.
All number of Gene songs that have been neglected throughout history, he could be doing, and instead he's doing Van Halen's House of Pain in its 1976 guys. Ace of Spades still in there. I mean, it just boggles the mind. That is not the show I want to see. And I hate to say it, I agree with Ken. I'm glad it got canceled because it's not different enough from the show I saw previously. Mark,
I watched the complete Beaver Dam show. Well, correction. I tried to watch the complete Beaver Dam show. I didn't get past Ace of Spades. I mean, honestly, like you guys have said already, he is such a terrible front person and such a, and it's totally cringe that this guy talks to girls still in the audience like he thinks he's still fucking 25 years old. I mean, the man is in his mid-70s. Like, he's a fossil, okay? I mean, why is he talking? I mean, why is he talking to like to girls like that? I mean, they're probably cringing the fact that he's talking to them like that. I mean, this is ridiculous, you know. And the look, the band I thought was good. You know, they played the songs good, I thought. You know, and Gene vocally was fine. I mean, I have no comments really about his ability to sing and to play bass or anything like that. But again, the song selections were questionable, to put it nicely. And again, all the things that I don't like about his show, he did. His you know, supposed humor. Like, if I paid $12,000 to be his roadie, the last thing I would want is for him to drag me out on stage, which he clearly did not want to do. You could tell just looking at him. He didn't want to be out there. And to be insulted by him on top of that, I would have honestly had told him to go fuck himself and ask for his money back. You know, seriously. I mean, that's what you get for paying $12,000 to this idiot. I mean, come on. It's unbelievable that happened on stage like that. I mean, the audience, okay, they can't do much about it, but this guy paid a lot of money to be there. And to have that happen, wow, Gene, I mean, how can you look at yourself in the mirror, for fuck's sakes? It's unbelievable. And then he brings up all these people on stage again at the end, which is a thing I just don't like. I mean, if I want to hear bad singing like that, I can go to a karaoke bar anywhere here, you know, in Canada or Toronto, and hear that kind of ridiculous singing. I mean, that I don't understand why he does that. I mean, again, and you just brought up another fact that he brings up people and then he insults them again when they come up on stage. You know, I mean, why are you people going up there? If I wouldn't go up there. I don't care how much you pay me. I wouldn't go up there and be with Gene after that kind of display that he did. So musically, I don't have too much of a problem with the Kiss stuff that he did. I thought he did those songs pretty good. But like I said, I didn't get past much further than like Ace of Spades, The Jam. I kind of just tuned out and that was it. But, you know, again, why some of these cover songs? I can maybe understand And Your Bird Can Sing. He's an obvious Beatles guy. And, you know, that kind of showing could make sense, right? But again, some of the other ones like Ace of Spades, you know, House of Pain. Okay, he did do the Van Halen thing. But come on, that's a more known Van Halen song than anything he had to do with it. And, you know, Zeppelin, okay, everybody plays Zeppelin, you know, in their set if they do a cover. So, you know, sorry for the big tirade, but that really did bother me about that.
I think we're lining up for tirades. And again, we weren't there. I'm sure, you know, people who were there had a lot of fun. You know, that changes their perspective. But since we're not there, we're talking about it from our perspective from the armchairs. So, you know, he didn't even have any merch available, for God's sakes.
But Lonnie, I don't think
you've waited how many weeks to talk on the show?
So, yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Lonnie.
All right, let's put a dime in Lonnie.
You know, it's very disappointing, just to echo what you guys have been saying. Like, I hate going to concerts when any band plays cover songs. I didn't come here to hear somebody else's material. I came here because I paid money to be here because I'm a fan of this band's music or whoever it is music. I want to hear your songs. I don't want to be in the audience saying, oh, geez, I wonder what cover they're going to play next. No, if I wanted to go see a cover band, I'd go see a cover band. But if I'm paying, you know, concert tickets are not cheap anymore. If I'm paying to go see a band that I like, I want to hear their music, not just random cover after cover. And like, but you guys were saying there's so many good neglected Gene Simmons songs that he can throw out there that we're just ignoring. And it's just, I think, honestly, it's just more of the same. It's just, I really don't want to learn and polish that up. We can go out there, we can play this, and they'll be happy because I'm Gene Simmons. And that's it. You know, and I agree with you guys, too, about, you know, the making fun of people. You're not a comedian. You're a musician. Play music and play your songs, for crying out loud. I think it makes me not very disappointed that it's not coming close to me, and I'm not going to go see it because that's not what I would. I'd be disappointed if I paid money for that.
All right, Daniel, if you finished your snack.
Yeah, you know, it's 7. It's 6:30 over here now, so I'm having a good time drinking some good stuff here and eating peanuts. So it's different from you guys. I guess it's early morning in San Francisco, but we're here. We're getting ready for Saturday night. Well, about the show. Well, I would actually like to see Mark get on stage with Gene Simmons. I think Mark would put him in a headlock or something. It sounds like he's totally.
angry with Gene. And Lonnie, well, he doesn't want to hear any covers. But I think he would get his mind blown if they played "God Gave Rock and Roll to You," the cover that they Argent cover. So it's all in what kind of covers you play and what kind of show you do. I already seen this show last year. You know, he played almost the same set list in Europe last summer. So I think it's really disappointing that he didn't pay attention to the fans, because he caught a lot of flack for that show, those shows in Europe. People were disappointed, and it was very similar to this set list. People compared it to when he was over here in 2018, I think it was. That was a great show. And last year was a real letdown. And just like you guys have been saying, people were upset about the covers, at least the choice of covers. It was, you know, bad choices. And as Julian said when he started this off, he said it was a great beginning. You know, Deuce shouted out loud, "Are you ready, War Machine?" That's exactly what I said, you know, half a year ago when I saw this. It started off real well, and then it, you know, just went bananas off the rails. Yeah, and the main thing that he keeps on doing, but no one wants it, is bringing those stage sound like crap. It's fucking insane. Yeah, but you bring some, you know, they've been drinking since early morning, and they go up there. Some of them don't even know the song. What are you expecting them to?
But Daniel, in America, which is a large part of our audience, the R word is as bad as the British use of the C word.
Oh, I know, but I don't care. So, okay. you know.
There you go.
You know, I think, I don't know what it is with Gene. On the one hand, it's awful that he doesn't pay attention to what people say. On the other hand, it's pretty cool that he really doesn't care. I'm doing what I want to do. I don't care what you guys are saying. I like it this way. And I think we're at that point that Gene is doing this a bit for himself. You know, I like to play these songs. I don't care what you people say.
What happened to "we hear and we obey"? We hear and we obey.
When they used to well, to be perfectly honest, that hasn't really been.
That's not true. Yeah,
that's not Gene at all.
No, it's a line.
That's a shtick that he does, and that's nothing he's been, you know, living up to. So I think it's pretty disappointing. And when I was at that show last year, I still had a good time. I was a bit disappointed, but, you know, it's Gene Simmons playing live in his mid-70s. I just think it's great that he's able to do this. You know, Paul sure as hell isn't able to do it. So I don't know really what to say, but some of the songs sounds great. Deuce, Charisma, yeah. Shout Out Loud, War Machine, I Love It Loud, Parasite. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in this set still. You can't forget that. So I don't want to, you know, cut him down completely, because there are some high notes in this show. But, of course, it could have been better if you paid attention to what the fans and the audience has been saying for a year now. You know, you need to change things up. But he really doesn't seem to care. But, that's my take on it. Sorry about the R word.
No, you absolutely nailed
it. I've seen too much Howard Stern. He always uses that word.
Yeah, but you do nail it with the observation that Gene's doing what he wants, and if people come along for the ride, then that's fine. But it's just packing a 45-minute show into a 90-minute set is, you know, the amount of time wasting when we crave. Sorry, I'm reading Rob Benjamin's quote, and I'm trying to make sense of it. It doesn't compute to Brit. The other part that doesn't compute is Gene and his lack of merchandise. Now, I understand it from a touring and business perspective on the road of who wants to lug around merchandise, pay a venue a possibility of a cut, a percentage, for selling that merch at the venue. pay people to actually sell it as well and have the staff and the overhead of carrying it around. So they have a single design available on Gene Simmons Band other than the dollar and other international currency symbols, which seems to be all they're selling. They don't have this. That makes a badass t-shirt as far as I'm concerned. For the 2025 tour, in this day and age, without even having to order internationally to have those t-shirts made and take out the tariff equation, how difficult would it have been to actually do a 2025 tour t-shirt that looks good?
But if you look closely on that image, there's a problem at the bottom. You see, the thing is in front of Gene with the skull and things, and then it goes up, and then suddenly it's behind Gene. That looks awful.
Who's going to care on a t-shirt?
I care.
Well, it's going to wash off within three washes anyway. So it's not going to be an issue.
Yeah, not if you follow Mark's, washing tips.
Yes. Thank you very much, Daniel. I appreciate the washing tips. I appreciate that.
But Lonnie, don't you think it's kind of odd that the business brilliant Gene Simmons doesn't have merch on tour, or actually even a proper line of merch for his solo band activities? That's all he's got now.
The king of merchandise, the king of getting every dollar he can possibly squeeze out of his fans, has no merch. I mean, we're Kiss fans. I can't imagine how many Kiss fans walked in there and were disappointed they couldn't give Gene more of their money.
Exactly.
I mean, seriously. I know I would have been disappointed. Like, I'll get a shirt when I go, what do we have left? This is all we have left. Are some of these solo shows. I'll gladly give you some more. I'll gladly give you $50 for a t-shirt when I get there. But that is mind blowing, Julian, that there's nothing, no t-shirts, no pins, no cornhole, no nothing. Come on, Gene. We're Kiss fans. We want to give you money.
Yes, we missed
you. Yeah, but that, did I hear you correctly when you said that someone actually paid that to be a roadie for Gene?
Yes, $12,000.
Yeah. $12,000.
That fucking big R, he destroys everything for the rest of us. You know, someone paying that kind of money for
being insulted.
It's basically crap and being insulted.
Well, I mean, I think that's bad. We don't know. We don't know what was arranged backstage for the interaction. Was Gene like, I'm going to make fun of you a little bit when you come out on stage? I mean, that guy, though, was obviously very shy, very uncomfortable. You know, was he told that he had to act
in a very rich
manner? Because he did get a bass out of it.
But Julian, I gotta ask you something though. Okay, you brought up a good point. We don't know what's going on backstage, but let me put it to you this way. If I'm a guy who has money and is watching this and thinking to myself, you know, it might be cool to be Gene's roadie for a day, and I see this, not knowing how it is backstage, what would your first impressions be if you saw that? For me, it'd be like, wow, I don't know if I'd want to have that kind of verbal abuse shot onto me from some guy after I just gave him $12,000. Sure, we don't know. Yeah. What happens backstage, but we don't have the luxury of that. We can only see what we are shown, and that's the impression that we get, right?
Exactly.
But I guess
what
I'm trying to say is that in order for us to get merchandise, Gene can't get a lot of this kind of money from some guy paying loads of money for this kind of crap thing instead of have the blue collar guys paying less money for merchandise. This is one of the reasons, I think, why he doesn't provide us with merchandise. Well, why should I, put in an effort to create some sort of merchandise when I can just have one fool pay all that money and I don't even need to do anything? I can go and have dinner with him. I can insult him on stage and I can collect the money. Oh, that's easier than making a lot of t-shirts and merchandise. So I think that's my problem with this. You know, that kind of guy provides a lot of money that should be spent by the blue collar fans in smaller amounts, but to more people, the real fans.
I don't care about blue collar fans anymore.
Lonnie, if you paid for that, I mean, number one, would you ever spend $12,000 to be Gene's bitch for the day? And two, if he spoke to you like that on stage, would the man still be standing?
Yeah. If I had,
if I say something back to him.
Right. I think I'd say something back to him. I wouldn't stand there and take it like a little bitch. Not that that guy's a bitch. I'm not saying that. But, you know, but I have a more of a trigger that I don't think I'd stand there and take it from anybody. But, you know, $12,000 is a good chunk of money for anybody, even if you are loaded like 1%er. $12,000 is still $12,000. That's a lot of money for anybody. I don't care who you are. And if that's what you want to do with your money, who am I to tell you what to do with your money? But I know, and we don't know what goes on backstage, or you know how cool the experience was for that guy individually backstage. I hope he feels he got his money. And I hope that anybody else who does this feels they got their money worth. Because I'm sure he's not going to be the only one that does this. He's only had a couple of dates, and there's already been someone that does it. I'm sure there's going to be somebody else. But if I was on the fence of doing this and I see that interaction on stage, I'd be like, yeah, maybe I'm not going to do that. Because, you know, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. And why would I spend $12,000 to be embarrassed and have KISS fans watch that and have Gene just, you know, rip me a little. You know what I mean? No thanks.
Yeah.
I can spend $12,000 on a lot of other cool shit than that.
Yeah. And just one thing, just quickly, Wade Lucas. Yes, I know that you're not rolling cables and amps around there. I'm not an idiot. I know they're not doing that actually, but still $12,000 to, you know, even if it was, you know, you were given, you know, some great stuff backstage and stuff like that. Still, I don't think it's still worth being insulted on stage. That to me is just draws the line. You can do backstage where people don't see it. Yeah, maybe you can have that interaction and whatever. Nobody knows about it, but I don't think that he appreciated having that done in front of people. So I'm not an idiot. I know he's not actually roadieing.
All right, we got a couple more topics.
Hold on. I just want to go
join the KISS FAQ YouTube channel. Member perks include exclusive song story demo bites, songs of the moment with contextual introductions, document and merchandise dives, KISS FAQ board topic reaction videos, early access to channel content, and hopefully lots more. Click the join button on the KISS FAQ YouTube channel or follow this link.
Please proceed, Ken.
Before I was so rudely interrupted by that TV commercial. I'm just going to say, you know, Lonnie was talking about the merchandise, and I said I would want to go there for the merchandise stand and say, "Hey, can you show me your cornhole?" No. Anyway.
Cornholio.
Ooh, cornholio. All right. So we do have a couple of more Gene topics. Gene, we do love you. But you've given us a lot to talk about this week. And there's actually a good topic on the message board right now. And it's completely separate to what our main topic is, if we ever get to it. And it's Mean Gene song battle, Killer versus Not for the Innocent. Which one would you pick, Mark?
Killer versus Not
for the Innocent. Honestly, I like Killer. And Not for the Innocent is a great song, but I kind of like Killer. I mean, that's a song because of the album, you know, that Creatures of the Night has a very, you know, soft spot in my heart. So I really like that album, and I think everything on there is gold. So yeah, I'm going to go with Killer.
Lonnie.
I agree with Mark. I like Killer. I mean, Not for the Innocent's good. You know, it's really good, but I think Killer just has more of a special place in my heart because I heard it at a very young age. So, and that's what, you know, a lot of these choices are about, is where the song strikes you personally. So I'm going Killer.
Daniel.
Yeah, I just have to go back briefly about Gene. I think the thing that is irritating us is that we see that he's still got the chops. You know, he sings great. He plays the bass perfectly, but he somehow fails anyway. I just want to put that in. He's at the top of his game still, I think. I think the vocals are especially great. Okay, Killer or Not for the Innocent. Two great songs, dark songs, and we all know about that demo with Not for the Innocent when Paul does the chorus part. I like that one. But somehow I think Killer is a meaner song. I think it's very mean, and it's a very under how do you say it? Underrated song. Yeah. I think that should have been a part of their set, at least on Imagine if they could have used that through the early 80s on the Animalize tour and Lick It Up tour. I think it would have fit perfectly. But somehow it wasn't played. But Killer is my pick, even though I like Not for the Innocent as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the alternate version of Not for the Innocent, because that is dark and sleazy and dirty and awesome. It's got that edge that has just been polished off a little bit on the Lick It Up one. Hey, Gene, here's two songs that you could put into your fucking set list. Bad Reputation. Exactly. And
you who know, has I'm time for sure that when you get all these covers?
I'm pretty sure the fans would enjoy it. I'm going for Not for the Innocent. I've always liked that. If I had to pick one I'd like to hear him do live, it would be Not for the Innocent. I would hope that it doesn't shred his vocal. But if he did Killer instead, I wouldn't be complaining. Both fantastic songs are very tough to pick between. All right, Ken, give us the voice of reasons, ultimate answer to that question. It's a tie.
I like both songs. No, it's not a tie. Yeah. It's not, even though they're both Gene songs. I like Not for the Innocent much better, twice as much as Killer. I think Not for the Innocent is just it's one of my favorite songs. Probably it could be, is it my favorite song off of that? Lick It Up? Could be one of my favorite songs off of Lick It Up, actually. Mm. I think it's so much dirtier, darker than Killer. Killer is, it's really not much to Killer, in my opinion. Seriously, wow. I don't think there's much to that song.
I don't know,
and it's a good song, but I think Not for the Instant, the whole atmosphere of that song and the way Gene sings and the lyrics are just perfect. It's the better song of the two.
That's it. Topic over. Ken has spoken. Thank you, Alan.
I spoke.
You, Caligari, for the topic on the board. And just for comparison, 79% of the FAQ respondents to this same poll said that Not for the Innocent was the better of the two. So
79%?
79%.
Ooh. You're in the minority, Daniel. Sorry.
Yeah.
Shows what they know.
But we all know that there's a better song on Lick It Up than Not for the Innocent.
Well, there's many better songs than
Fits Like a Glove.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
Come on. I mean, if we went back to the set list part of this conversation, we'd never get out of there with all the great songs that Gene could be doing. And yes, I mentioned Asshole earlier. Yeah, there's a couple of songs that he could do off there, no problem. Yeah. And he could probably make them sound a hell of a lot better live than they did on that slab. Sweet and Dirty Love would be my top pick for a song off Asshole. Yeah. That would sound good live, just because it's basically a Kiss song from 1976. The last Gene topic for today is Gene was on the radio, 94.3 The Shark, as transcribed by Blabbermouth.net, and he made a comment about Kiss Army Storm's Vegas. And you have to remember, Gene is flapping his gums. Therefore, he's not responsible for any of the hot air that comes out of his mouth. So don't read too much into it, because it may just be a question that he was answering that he wasn't fully prepared to kind of think about, and he clearly didn't. He called it, "This is much more of a fan gathering. The Kiss Army are taking over the Virgin Hotel and we will show up. But I don't even know if the entire band's going to be there. I know Paul and I are going to be there, and Tommy, former Kiss guitarist, Bruce Kulick, probably will show up and we'll jam, answer questions and stuff. It ain't a concert. We're going to do none of that stuff. I may even bring my solo band up there just for shits and giggles. So this is more like a fan event, a fan gathering. And we're going to be guests at." Wow, that sure changes the whole dynamic of what's been sold for Kiss Army Storm's Vegas.
Why don't you just say, "Yeah, I don't know if Eric Singer's coming or not."
Why don't you take a look at what's being on offered, a Kiss Unmasked concert? I got it right this time. For anyone who's bagged on me for saying acoustic, electric concert unmasked. There we go. I can get it right. The drummer's irrelevant. If Eric wants to be there, he can be there. If not, Gene's got a drummer in the pocket. There's plenty of drummers around who can be Kiss for a day. Sorry, Eric, but that's just how it is now in these after the end of the road things. But I don't think that does any service whatsoever to what they are trying to do in building Kiss Army Storm's Vegas, when there are still quite a number of the lower ticket tiers available to be sold. I mean, hefty amount. Let's start with Ken. Let's go straight to the voice of reason.
Yeah, I read that comment about Gene saying, you know, this is not a concert and don't know who's showing up and all that kind of stuff. And we're not going to do any of that kind of stuff. It sounds like, yeah, he's just downplaying the whole thing. And I think a lot of people think that bought the tickets when it was initially sold. And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen once the time comes. Maybe there will be
a concert. Nor do they, clearly. But,
yeah, it sounds like it could be a little bit of question and answers and playing some song. I don't know what's going to be. I don't know the format. But he, as a marketer, as the supposed genius marketer, he just did the reverse and probably sabotaged. Said if people were on the fence about it, about going or not, they probably, after hearing that, they probably thought, well, I'm not going to buy a ticket now after hearing that, because it sounds like they're not really going to play, because people are hoping for some kind of, you know, a concert, a Kiss concert kind of thing. But it's, I don't think it's going to be that. Maybe more like a sail away electric thing, which is almost like a concert, but maybe not even that. So I don't know. I think it's just strange that he said what he did. That's just more about the fans, and I mean the fans taking over and that sort of thing. So I wasn't on the fence either. Anyway, I wasn't going. I think it would still be fun, whatever it is. But yeah, I just don't understand that comment. He's saying it ain't a concert or whatever. That was weird.
Yeah, you know, I think Alan and Crispiness nail it with their comments, you know, that no one seems to know what is being offered. They're offering things they haven't finished detailing everything that is on offered. Clearly, we understand that. But this is a pretty big backtrack from what has already clearly been offered. And Crispiness, yes, it does look very clumsy and directionless and unprofessional and unworthy of the Kiss brand being attached to it. It's not an expo, and which you would expect certain things to be challenged. They haven't even named all the side events yet that they're supposed to be, you know, or are expected to be. Let's be absolutely clear. We don't know shit and don't have any visibility into that, but there were expected to be other, you know, events with, say, Gene or with Paul. But it doesn't seem that he's fully invested in it or not taking it seriously enough. Lonnie, does this make you changing your mind about not even attending?
Not at all. My mind hasn't changed at all. Talk about reverse marketing, though. You think Gene would get up there and like try to hype this thing up and how great this is going to be. Instead, he gets on there and it's like, hey, everybody calm down and lower your expectations about this, basically. You know, like settle those expectations down, because you're going to be disappointed if that's what you're thinking is going to happen, because it's not. And that's not the way to sell tickets to an event. You think you get on there and try to hype it up and tell everybody how great it's going to be. And, you know, we're going to do this electric show, you know, but it's not Kiss and makeup, but we're still going to get up there and do this electric show. But it's like, yeah, I don't know if the Kiss drummer, Eric Singer, for the last 20 years, I don't think he's going to be there, basically, is what it sounds like. And everybody needs to calm down, but you still need to buy your tickets and come to this. So has it changed my mind at all? No, my NFL schedule comes out on Wednesday. I can't wait for that.
Oh, you know, the upside to all this, Lonnie, and as someone who's done a cruise as well, is at least you're not stuck on a freaking boat.
Theoretically, at least you could leave.
There may be an exit fee each time you go through those doors to get out, and the entrance fee to come back in.
Or to stamp your hand, they go, no, you can't leave or come back in. Once you leave, you're out.
That's it for you, Daniel.
I think the thing that strikes me is about this is the Eric Singer thing. I don't know, has his contract run out? He's not a member. He's not a member of Kiss anymore. So a guy like Tommy Thayer, he's very diverse. He can, you know, edit videos, and he can manage bands. He can, you know, do conventions. He got a lot of skills, but Eric Singer is basically a drummer. And I've been waiting for Yeah, I think he is. I don't think there's a lot more to that guy than being a drummer. But he's a great drummer. He's one of the best. And I've been waiting for Eric to maybe join another band, much like the Swedish guy, Mickey D, if you remember the guy in Motorhead being a drummer. When Lemmy died, I was just thinking about what will happen with Mickey. And he landed that gig in Scorpions. And I've been waiting for Eric to land some sort of gig. You know, he's so professional. He's still got the chops. I'm hoping for him to join a band much more than you know, being at this Vegas thing. So I'm just waiting for Eric to join a band. Yeah, I don't know, Whitesnake or some class. Well, Whitesnake doesn't really exist anymore. But some sort of classic band, classic rock band. I think he can provide a pretty cool drum spot in a band. So that's what I'm waiting for. I'd rather see the news that Eric Singer joins this band or that band than him being at this Vegas event. So what is up with Eric Singer is my question. Please join a band so I can start following that band. Right.
Maybe he doesn't want to. Maybe he's taking an extended vacation. Maybe the last 5 years need a bit more time to recover from. Who the hell knows? I'm not entitled to that. I don't know what's going on with him. The only thing I care about with Eric is that he's happy and healthy. Everything else, if he decides to do any, you know, side gigs or do any drumming in the future, you know, I'll happily check it out. But again, I'm not sitting around wondering what Eric Singer is doing, because he's given so much to the community that he doesn't owe anyone an answer. And that includes, again, as people pointed out, you know, no one's been a member of KISS since 1980. Everyone's been a hired gun. Mm-hmm. And they know that. They've always known that. They've always known that. Come on, Eric Singer went through that in 2003 when Peter came back into the fold. Yeah. And then in 2004, he came back into the fold. And after saying that he'd never work with them again because of how he'd been treated. Well, he was a professional musician. I did that in the crunch time for May the 8th, the first show of the Rock the Nation tour. Here he was again. So again, he's always been a professional musician and he's done the gigs, but he's also chosen. I would think he's earned the right to choose what the hell he does at this point, and that he doesn't owe anyone an answer, especially if the money's not right or the terms aren't right. Mark.
This doesn't affect me one way or another. I had no plans in going to see this, mainly because there was nothing appealing about it to me. But like I said before, I hope people that go have a good time and enjoy it. But man, Gene, there's just something really odd about that whole reaction, because as you said earlier, Gene is Mr. You know, money. He would more likely promote something more in hopes of getting more ticket sales and to make it a better, you know, attended sort of thing. And to sort of downplay it like that as much as he has, I mean, like you mentioned earlier, if I was on the fence, man, I would definitely say, forget it. I'm not going now. I mean, he doesn't seem, he seems like he'd rather be anywhere else than at this event at this point. So it's very fishy. I mean, it's almost like he's doing it on purpose to maybe, you know, to maybe surprise people at the end, one would hope, with some big reveal at the end. But you know, this is KISS. They never do that, you know. KISS always screws their things up. They're always 2 years behind things, or you know, that they're never good at these sort of things. But one could hope that maybe this could be the exception to the rule. Maybe something will happen and he's just downplaying it now, not to get people's, you know, expectations too high, and then they surprise them with something. One would hope that would happen, but I don't know. It's just really unbelievable that he's kind of approaching it this way. And hey, Jason, where's Drago? Nice to see you. It's been a while. Hope you're doing well. And yeah, so that's my take on it. It doesn't matter to me. I wouldn't go anyways, but hopefully it ends up being a good event.
Yeah, going back to Sylvie. Yeah, Sylvie's got it right. Sylvie's going. Sylvie's only going to have a good time. The fans who go there are going to see fellow fans that they haven't seen in a long time. And everything that happens or anything that goes wrong, they're going to deal with it and make the most of the situation. So the people who are putting their money where their mouths are, You know, I do hope you have a great time. I do hope that it's fun. And I do hope you enjoy everything that they put on. I'm going to still be a mouth on the sideline for this one and talk about it from, you know, my observations. All right. We do actually have a main topic to talk about today, believe it or not. There was just a lot of Gene that we got to talk about Gene when Gene does stuff. Same with any of the members.
Oh, hey, you're still here watching or listening. Why don't you hit that subscribe button or click the like one? And if you want even more, click on the join button on YouTube. Thanks for your support.
All right, so the main topic this week is going to be Ken's idea of I miss KISS. What are five things that you miss and five things that you don't miss about KISS and what they did in the...
Jeez, Daniel.
Jesus, man. Mute that mic, man.
Oh, sorry.
Jesus. Okay. Procedure.
Right, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. What are five things that you miss about KISS, and five things that you don't miss about KISS that they did in their career? And that's a really tough one to think about, because KISS is still here. We just spent 45 minutes talking about Gene Simmons' band and KISS Army Storms Las Vegas, and you know, we've done a long show on KISS Off the Soundboard San Antonio. Sure. Lonnie, what are some of the things that you miss about KISS? And then we'll go around with not missing as well.
Some of the things I miss is I miss the excitement for new music. We haven't had that in a long time. And, I miss the excitement of a KISS album getting ready to be released. You know, we didn't get many the last several years. I mean, we haven't had one since 2012, but I miss the excitement of new music. You know, Alice Cooper has a new album coming out with his original band. And, you know, there are other people that still release new music. Alice is just a great example, because he, you know, just consistently turns out albums every few years still. So I miss the excitement of new music for my favorite band. You know, that's something I've missed actually for a while. You know, and I miss the road trips. I've done a lot of KISS road trips over the years. I miss going on road trips to go see them. You know, it's fun when they come to my hometown, but you know, there's also something about, you know, the getting in the car and going and seeing them, whether it be with my wife or with my brother. And I just miss the live performances. You know, I miss seeing the band. I miss the curtain dropping and the anticipation of the band coming out, and you know, just the live performance. And the other thing I really miss is the camaraderie of the KISS Army, you know, and that it is just kind of a gathering at the shows or at a indie expo or what have you. And you know, and that's one reason I guess why I love doing this show for 10 plus years now is seeing you guys and the camaraderie that we've built with one another and with our audience and with the FAQ. And you know, we've kind of become our own little cult following a little bit. So but I miss the camaraderie of the KISS Army at whether it be at the shows and or an expo or just, you know, that. I mean, those are what I could come up with that are the things that I miss.
Wow, that's a great speech.
Yeah, it sounds like you should be going to KISS Army Storms Vegas for that camaraderie.
but hey, settle down. Don't get your excitement. Don't get too excited about that.
You want some excitement, but you don't want excitement that costs that much. Okay. No,
See, he told you to settle down.
Yeah, I agree with you completely on the, you know, the camaraderie. And Ken and I obviously had a Gene Simmons solo show, you know, canceled in our neck of the woods. And we were both going, and I had friends going. I had extra tickets, you know, for last minute offers to people. And I was looking forward to that. Even if the set list, I had known what we know now in advance, I wouldn't care. I'm a hypocrite. I would have enjoyed the shit out of that show, being there in the moment and seeing friends and being up at that casino. I miss that. I miss the traveling for something with purpose for a KISS show. I'm doing it in June. I'm going down to LA for the A show. Yeah, I'm going to an A show at the Whiskey. Why? Well, I haven't seen Ace in a while live, and it would be nice to, again, go to a legendary venue. And I'm looking forward to seeing friends at the Whiskey. I'm looking forward to going to the Rainbow and having my Lemmy, as I always do when I'm in town, because again, it's one of those things. So the camaraderie of the events, the magic of knowing that there were more events coming, not that there may only be the Kiss Army Storms Vegas in 2025. And after that, who the hell knows? So that, Ken.
What do I miss? Okay, some of the things I miss are, I remember when Kiss had new albums every year. Ooh. You could expect it, you know, you expected that to happen. There's always, ever since I got into Kiss, there's the next year, the next album, you knew something was gonna happen. You're gonna get new music. So that was a exciting time and a big deal. It's just unfortunate that they stopped feeling they needed to record any music anymore, or that desire. Then, yeah, it was in their contract, I know, but still, they could do it. The other thing, I miss the original lineup. I used to love the original. I mean, I got on board when the original lineup was there. I mean, I hope that lineup would stay throughout the whole career, you know, the whole career. But obviously it doesn't happen. It hardly ever happens with any band out there. So that's another thing. Like Lonnie, I miss the live concerts. Either, you know, just going to these concerts are always great. Like Jillian said, even going to the Gene one, even though the set list is messed up and they bring people on stage that shouldn't be up there singing with him. You're still going to enjoy it when you're there and with the people that are like-minded Kiss fans and that sort of thing. And the regular Kiss concerts that we always look forward to, you know, checking, you know, seeing when they would tour through the area. The other big one, I really miss that mystique. The mystique of when I didn't know what the heck these guys looked like. I know none of you probably can remember, you're old enough to remember that, you know, just imagine this, a band that they were wearing this makeup and you didn't know, there was no photographs or anything. You just didn't know. It was just, they were like these superheroes back then, like rock band superheroes to me. And it was just a different kind of thing. It was, yeah, you wanted to see what they looked like. You wanted to know, but at the same time, you didn't. And so that mystique was really something else. And how they were able to conceal their faces for so long was actually amazing. The last thing here is I put another thing was Kissology releases. I enjoyed those Kissology releases, and then we thought we were going to get, you know, more and.
You got Loomis. Kissology how much port. More do you want?
I know. Thank you, Sam Loomis, by the way. I just thought they could do a lot more. I mean, and they could still do it. There's probably a lot of recorded shows that they can record from the reunion tour and other stuff. Just why not? But anyway, that's some of my missing of Kiss.
All right, Mark, what do you miss and what do you not miss?
Well, I mean, this it was a rather odd topic for me, I found. I mean, for Ken, I understand miss because, Kiss. You know, no, well, because let's just put it this way. You got into the band a lot earlier on sure. than a lot of us, right? So, of course, I can totally understand about the mystique thing. I think it's a great answer, and I understand that one. Hey, Mark Arnold, awesome to have you here. And I think that has a lot to do with it, because for me, I'll be totally honest, I only came up with two things I missed. Number one were the albums. Obviously, I mean, I was looking for, I remember when they were hyping Sonic Boom, and I remember when they were hyping Monster, and I remember even, you know, Psycho Circus when that was being all hyped up to come out. But, you know, before that, I mean, I remember some of the things, you know, Crazy Nights and stuff like that, but before that, not much, right? The tours, obviously, is another thing that I missed because I went to a lot of great shows. I saw them on the reunion. I saw them on the Lost Cities tour and Psycho Circus and a bunch of tours after that. I saw them on, but I never got to see them in the early times, but I got to see this. So, of course, I missed that. But then I thought about it after that. What else did I miss? Like you guys mentioned, you know, missing the camaraderie and stuff like that. But are we missing that? Because we have all these events to go to. How can we be missing it if we're going to these things? You know, we're good. There's one coming up now for the Vegas. How can we miss it if it's still there? You know, and one of the third things that I had down and I stopped myself was I was thinking about, you know, well, maybe new KISS products, but we're always getting new KISS things now. Again, with these, you know, KISS online stuff that's coming out. There's always, I mean, it was hard, definitely hard for me to think of things that I missed because really I don't, I mean, you know, I could have said KISS conventions, you know, like in the 90s. Well, yeah. It seems like they're starting to have them come back again. This is another example, according to Gene, of a sort of convention that's coming up. So really, are we missing it? Because we're going to be having them by the sounds of it. And Bernd came out here and saying that there's going to be an event coming out in Sweden. So then what's there to miss from that end of it? I mean, I'm not trying to be a party poopy here about that, but you know, I'm trying to find, honestly, something that I miss from KISS. But those were the two major things for me.
Wait a minute. You told me, Mark, the other day that you missed Bob Ezrin produced KISS albums. Come on.
Oh, yeah. I especially miss that. Yeah.
All right, Daniel.
Well, I have to echo a few of the things you said. The first thing that comes to mind is actually KISS trying to push the envelope, paying attention to what happens, being a current band, trying to compete against the other great artists like they did in 92 when they tried to be like Metallica or Megadeth, and they tried. They put in an effort to make a great album, and they did with Revenge. You know, that feeling of KISS being a current band, you could feel proud of their efforts. You could play their new music to other people, to friends, and they would say, wow, this actually sounds cool. This sounds current. This is cool stuff. That's one of the things I miss the most. And, of course, the live experience, traveling to shows, the road trips, meeting other KISS fans that are at the same level of your KISS interest, so to speak. Also, feeling proud about the band's achievements. Well, it's been quite a time since I felt that. You know, what they have been doing, and you can have people say, wow, that KISS show last year in Stockholm was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Yeah, I could have told you that a long time ago, that KISS is the greatest live experience ever. So, and also, of course, expecting new records, that some of you said, you know, the expectation you had for the new record in the mid-80s and early 90s, that was just awesome, man. They released quite a few albums, and you didn't have to wait too many years to get new albums. And also, in later years, if we look at, you know, after they stopped releasing new albums, I kind of miss, you know, new interviews, seeing, you know, live clips from shows, following the tours as they are happening in America or South America or Japan. You could kind of follow them through YouTube and that kind of stuff. So I kind of miss that as well. So there's a lot to miss, but basically, I think I miss them being, you know, caring about what they are providing to the fans, trying their hardest to be on top of the game and being current. They stopped doing that, I guess, when the reunion came, but before that, it was awesome.
Yeah, I think what I miss the most is something that Lonnie raised. I miss when KISS was a blue-collar band, or when music was a blue-collar experience, because it's not just Kiss, and it certainly isn't Kiss's fault that the cost of concert tickets just exploded in the 2000s to the point where actually getting any sort of decent experience at a live show, other than accepting nosebleed seats just for the sake of being in the room, which I guess we will have all have to have done with certain shows in our music lives, where everything wasn't an add-on, an additional fee. I mean, it became like the airline industry. You want this? Well, that's an add-on. You want this? You want an add-on. Early access only if you've paid membership in a Kiss Army. Early access only if you have a certain credit card. Early access only if you have a certain credit rating. You know, really became tiresome and irksome, and it really served to separate and cut up the fans into silos of income levels and income disbursement willingness versus being a fan of the music. Do you remember when kids lined up outside of stores to get their tickets when tickets went on sale to make the fight for the first row by being early and investing? Instead, it just became something that those with pearls on their wrist could rattle their jewelry at and have become reality. And that changed the whole dynamic of the concert, where the front row was filled with rich people who were just there to be there rather than because they wanted to be there and were super fans of the band that they were there celebrating. That has absolutely killed the concert experience for me. It's why I don't go to very many shows. Oddly, I'm going to a show next week to see the Death Cult. But unless I get arrested, I think it might be...
unless I come and pick you up.
Yeah, here comes ICE right now. So I miss all of that. And also the cost of travel has increased exponentially at the same time. So traveling to events has become incredibly expensive. Mm. Hotels are incredibly expensive. Everything is incredibly expensive. And it's just no longer fun when you add in all the hassles. If you are 8,954 in line, oh, connection disrupted. Please join the queue again, you know, just to get your tickets. You know, just what the end of the road became was just so utterly depressing in the end. So I don't miss that. What do I miss? I miss Paul Stanley on stage rapping, leading us through the Psycho Circus, you know, with his great stage raps, which made you cringe and smile at the same time. I miss him ramping up to do Say Yeah, to convince the audience that it was a Kiss classic. And he did that right until the end, and I love him to pieces for doing that, because he never gave up on Say Yeah, and I believe that is a Kiss classic. I drank the purple Kool-Aid on that one. I thought it was a great song. I'm glad he never gave up on that. He gave up on six songs from Monster. He gave up from how many other songs from Sonic Boom, but he never gave up on Say Yeah. I'm glad. I miss, you know, them being able to spend time with the fans and actually sign stuff, where it wasn't an assembly line of oversold backstage experiences with a bunch of freebies tacked on who would come in and disrupt the whole process. You know, so go back to the 2003 meet and greets. Those were golden. Go back to being backstage before that, when, you know, fans would hang out and actually get to meet them. All of that I miss. You know, I do miss the fan dynamic, because it really has shifted into a very tribal experience, like everything else in this frickin' life, for stupid reasons. Everything is so goddamn tribal now. You can only have a binary choice in life. You have it this way or that way, or you're the hater, the enemy. I miss the time where we could just sit back and fucking say we're Kiss fans. We are in the Kiss Army. No, I don't have a fucking membership to prove it. I'm in the Kiss Army, damn it. You know, don't take me at my word. So that's really what I miss, and what I don't miss, all in kind of wrapped up and encapsulated in one long-winded run-on sentence. Mm. Who have I missed?
Everybody for don't.
Hey, I haven't fucked up yet. All right. So let's end this conversation how we started it, with Gene. And I guess with Ace, for that matter, since he's a road dog. Ace gets out there and plays his fucking music. Got bills to pay. He gets up there. Gene is out there playing the music. And you know, promoters aren't going to let Gene do a whole vault set. He wants, a promoter is going to demand that Gene do certain Kiss songs because people will not pay. And that goes for anything. People are not going to pay for those deep cuts. We saw that with Rock the Nation tour in 2004. When they played them, the fucking audience exhaled and sat down scratching their nuts. What the hell is that? Is that a cover? Is that a new song? No, it's All the Way. It's from their 1974 album, Hotter Than Hell. Is Gene or Ace a substitute for Kiss? It's all you can get to hear those songs performed, and I'm not excluding Bruce because he doesn't do it on a regular basis. Are they acceptable substitutes for Kiss now? It's all you got, Lonnie.
Yeah, it's what we have left, you know. It's not a substitute, but I'll take it at this point, you know. If that's what we have moving forward, I'll take what we can get, whether it be Gene solo, Ace solo. You know, I badmouthed the Gene thing earlier, but you know what, if he did come to town, I'd go. It's not like I'm not gonna go. I mean, it's Gene Simmons, you know what I mean? I'm gonna go see it, and I could still come on here and say it was great, but I can still come on here and bitch about the set list at the same time. I mean, come on, we're Kiss fans, that's what we do, is bitch about the set list anyway. So it's I don't know if it's a substitute, but I'll take what I can get moving forward from to keep my Kiss fandom alive.
I like Burt more and more. Yeah, I'll pay for an all set of Gene Simmons vault songs too. Absolutely, right? 100%. Ken?
Yeah, this is a substitute or an Ace or Gene. Yeah, to a degree. It fills the part of that need to see or enjoy kind of Kiss live. You're getting a quarter, I guess, right? 25% of that Kiss enjoyment. So yeah, to a degree. You could also say that Kiss tribute bands are kind of that too, in a way, which they are going to have a couple at that Vegas thing. So that will be, I'm sure, satisfy some people's needs to have a Kiss type thing, show and makeup, playing some songs that Kiss no longer would play anyway. So that should be good. So yeah, to a degree, Ace and Gene, it fills that need to you know, part of it at least.
I wish they'd look at each other's set lists and try to avoid the overlap. I don't need both of those guys to shout it out loud.
Right. Rock Roll Nine.
Well, they both have to do Dukes. Oh, that's the first song Ace ever played. Mark, do you accept any substitutes for Kiss?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, and I know I'm going to get scorched, of course, for my comments, but I honestly, I mean, I've seen Ace a few times solo, and to me, it just was not exciting at all. Like, it just seemed like it was just like, it was like watching a cover band, you know. I mean, him singing the Kiss songs was just not good. I mean, when he finally started getting other people singing them instead, it was better. But, you know, seeing Gene solo doesn't really appeal to me. I mean, I don't know what it is. The magic of Kiss has always been Kiss, whether it was, you know, Peter, Ace, Paul, Gene, or if it was with Eric Carr and Ace, or if it was with Bruce and Eric Singer. That, to me, was Kiss. That's what got me excited. To see them solo, I mean, I can understand that they, you know, they have careers to follow up, do their solo things, you know, keep themselves, you know, financially secure somehow as well. So it makes sense that they're going to continue to do it. I have no comment or any problem with them doing it. But to me, there's no magic in it. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know why we'll go and see it. I mean, to me, I don't, you know, it's like when people keep saying, you know, Geddy and Alex should go back out in the row and get another drummer. I don't want them to do that. And they don't even want to do that because they know that it'll never be the same as when it was when they were together. And I would rather have my memories I've seen them since I was like 10 years old, from Grace Under Pressure on to their very last show, and have those memories of some brilliant concerts that I've seen, than to go see a different watered down version of what I remember from before. So to me, there's no appeal to it.
Daniel, you get to have the last word on this.
Well, of course, you can't compare with Kiss. There's no way near the Kiss. But I love the songs they are performing. You know, Gene has a lot of good songs in that set list still. I love hearing Deuce live with a correct singer, so to speak, you know. And same goes for Ace. I think he has a lot of good songs in his set list. So, and live is the way to hear this kind of music, you know. Hearing Cold Gin live with Ace Frehley, I would get, you know, excited about that. Unfortunately, Ace has some problems with the IRS and the tax thing, so I'm not sure we'll ever be able to see him over here in Europe again. I wouldn't, you know, put my house on that one. So I guess I won't be able to see Ace. But I think it's kind of great that they still are doing this. And at the level, you know, we can't ignore the fact that Gene sings the hell out of those songs still. At least when I watched him the past summer here, Do sounded great, you know. Those songs from the vault he played, Are You Ready, sounded great vocally. So he still, and Ace has never been, you know, the greatest singer, but it still can, you know, provide enough to make it exciting. So I think it's great that they're still out there. The only thing I think is lacking is Bruce. I think he could put a pretty cool band together and do something, but you know, he's sort of, you know, resting on his laurels. I don't know what he's up to, but I think if he could, you know, put that band together that he's been playing with and put together some sort of tour or being an opening act, it would be kind of interesting as well. And of course, I have to add once again, what happened to Eric Singer? He needs to join a band so I can start following that.
Yeah. So I think Ace eventually will have to get everything sorted out to do Europe and other markets, because he's starting to oversaturate a lot of areas in the States already, multiple visits within, you know, short period of time. There's only so many times he can go back to the well. And again, even those theater shows are still expensive nights out for the fans. I just want the opportunity to, you know, really celebrate stuff. And, you know, it's easy to focus on the downside to a lot of these things, because that seems to be a natural human position. But we're still doing this show. We're still positive Kiss fans. We're still wanting to talk about various aspects of Kiss-try on a week-to-week basis. So I'll take this, because this doesn't cost a damn thing. I do appreciate those folks who've joined the YouTube channel while we've been live today. Lots of members-only material is available there, and a lot of early access to stuff that will eventually go live to the broader public. But I do appreciate your support, as you do help keep the ads off the rest of the channel for everyone's benefit. So thank you very much for your support. That's it for this week. We went way off the reservation with the topic, Ken. It almost became secondary to talking about Gene, but I'm glad that we've got Gene to talk about. I'm glad that he's out there doing live sets. I've seen the posts on the FAQ from people who are actually in attendance at this show. As always, the people who actually go to it have a different perspective than those of us who are catching up on YouTube after the fact. You know, but a lot of those opinions are also the same. I have friends who went to those shows who said Gene didn't shut up. It's like, get those people off the stage. I want to hear music. I don't want to hear Brenda, you know? So yeah. There we go. I'm just glad we have something to bitch about, because life's too damn short. All right. For now, that is it from Lonnie, Ken, Mark, Daniel, and myself. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for spending time listening to the KISS FAQ podcast today. All sales are final. There are no refunds. If you'd like, look us up on Facebook or come over to the message board and discuss the topics we've broadcast today. Don't forget to hit subscribe wherever you've listened to this show, and a like would very much be appreciated. We hope you'll join us again, but until then, remember, life's a radio. Turn it up to 10.